Hoopsla Podcast, Episode 3, Gregor Gonzalez, Research Program Chair. The Hoopsla Podcast brings you up to speed on topics covered at this year's Hoopsla Conference, which takes place in October 2008 in Nashville, Tennessee. For more information, visit the conference website at hoopsla.org. The Hoopsla Podcast is co-produced by Software Engineering Radio and Dim Sum Thinking. I'm Daniel Steinberg, your host for this episode. We talked to Gregor Gonzalez, Research Program Chair, about the technical program for this year's Hoopsla and about some of the scheduled keynote addresses.
There's a number of things that are really exciting. You know, as Research Program Chair, I led a committee of people who chose the research program. This year, we've got 33 papers. So Hoopsla is a big conference. It has a lot of tracks. And I sort of view the research program track as playing a small but very critical role in that larger picture. So we have the 33 papers, and there's a number of people who come to the conference to focus on that. It's also a way for people who come to the conference perhaps more interested in the developer track to drop in now and then on some of the research papers. We continued a policy that was begun last year of being a little more permissive in the sense of if there were very, very good papers that just had minor defects that the committee saw could easily be changed, then we went ahead and accepted papers like that. We didn't demand that papers be perfect in order to be accepted. And this year, like last year, that policy has produced a few more papers. So again, there are 33 papers for 11 sessions. So in those 33 papers, there's really a good mix of topics. One of the things that's fantastic, I think, about Hoopsla is the mix of topics that we get. Kind of at the most academic end, you might say, there are papers about type systems and type inference and formal methods and program analysis. And, you know, those are excellent papers that both take a new cut on older problems and also push into some new problems. And I think people will enjoy and learn from those. Hoopsla traditionally has some papers on performance analysis and runtime and issues like that, and we have two sessions on those kinds of topics. One thing that cropped up this year is papers about database integration and integration of database ideas into programming languages. So we've got a couple sessions that are influenced by those kinds of ideas. There's a language design session that looks at some new ideas in language design. And there's an aspects and modularity session, which, of course, I'm particularly interested in, that also has some excellent papers in it.
The research program at Hoopsla doesn't just appeal to other researchers. There's plenty there for practitioners as well.
I think historically, and this is certainly true about the Hoopsla program this year, is one of the things that makes the Hoopsla research program exciting is, on the one hand, there are results that you might think of as sort of being very early, very much at the theoretical end of the spectrum. And on the other hand, there are results that are where the researchers are making a real effort to kind of bridge to problems of the present or near future. And I think that's one of the things that contributes to a really good dynamic at Hoopsla, which is that because you have a mix of researchers and practitioners, you get researchers and practitioners going to each other's sessions. So one thing I would encourage is for people who haven't been to Hoopsla before or who are thinking of coming to Hoopsla, who see themselves more as practitioners, I would encourage them to look briefly at the listing of research papers. The website makes it really easy to see the research papers and browse through them. I think many practitioners might find that while they certainly wouldn't be interested in listening to all 33 of the papers, there might be three or four that they would be very interested in listening to and that would really connect very directly to some of the practical problems they have. You know, if I just look here at some of the topics that some of the papers are addressing, we got papers addressing problems in refactoring systems that exist in all of the current refactoring systems and how to solve that problem. So that's an example, I think, of a paper that would be of great interest to people who might not think of themselves as researchers. And I think there's probably, you know, a dozen papers of that category where they've solved a particular technical problem that is, on the one hand, at a research horizon, but is, on the other hand, of practical import today.
And you can also see things coming to other languages and imagine how they might come to your favorite language.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, the research track gives you a sense of how ideas are being integrated. I think that's one of the things that makes Uppsala particularly interesting as a conference. The conference as a whole and the research track in particular has more of a flavor of integrating different things, bringing ideas back and forth from different subcommunities. And so I think it does help it exactly the way you said.
Can you talk about the differences between the Onward track and the research track?
Well, I think the goal when they created the Onward track and the Essays track was in some sense for them to diverge. And I think this is one of those questions where a number of reasonable people might see it differently. To me, I think one of the great things about adding the Onward track to Uppsala and the Essays track to Uppsala, in the past, there were papers that were submitted to the research track that presented really interesting and compelling ideas, where the interesting and compelling idea had been worked out somewhat. It wasn't just, you know, I went out with some friends last night and had a bottle of wine and I got this great idea, let me write it down. These were ideas that people had spent quite some time thinking of, but they weren't validated in the sense that the research track typically demands. You know, there wasn't a complete implementation or a complete user study or, you know, several large systems written in it or dot, dot, dot. That's the kind of validation the research track typically demands. And so the research track found itself rejecting papers where everyone in the committee was sort of lamented that the paper was rejected because it was like, this is a really interesting idea and this person has thought about it a lot and I bet if it was presented at Uppsala, it would generate a lot of discussion. But because of the standards that the research track had in terms of validation, it was difficult to accept those papers. So I think what the Onward track has done is it's created a track where the acceptance criteria are targeted exactly at ideas like that. So not ideas that are, you know, half-baked. These are ideas that are sort of at least three-quarter baked, but they don't have quite that same level of validation. So I actually think that the Onward track is a great addition to Uppsala and as its own separate entity. And then, in fact, creating a bit more distance between it and the research track is probably going to let Uppsala have more of a mix of, on the one hand, extremely well-validated papers that focus on hard technical problems, and on the other hand, papers about some newer ideas that haven't seen that level of validation but have seen a great deal of thought.
So when people aren't attending the research talks, are there other things that stand out in the Uppsala program that you'd like to call out?
I think there's lots of exciting things in the Uppsala program this year. But let me just call people's attention to two keynotes in particular, by Jana Stepanovic and Lucy Suchman, both of whom have had a tremendous impact on my work and my thinking about software systems and how we build them. Yanis's work in model integrated computing, in some sense, is another one of these cuts on the problem of raising the abstraction level of software, raising the level of what we can say in software, and really taking us to a place where we have these models of a system, models of a domain, we can do different kinds of analyses from them, and one thing we can end up doing is generating executable code, but there's other kinds of interesting things we can do and learn from and model from the software. So they're doing some fantastic work. Actually, Yanis's institute is in Nashville itself, so that'll be, you know, I think he'll be talking to us about some of the work that's going on in Nashville, and people can probably even go over there and see some more of the work. So I'm really looking forward to that talk. Also, Lucy Suchman, who I had the pleasure of working with when I was at Xerox PARC, she's now at Lancaster, is going to be giving a talk. And I think one way you could see how much my work has been influenced by Lucy's thinking is in the keynote talk that I gave last year where I talked extensively about her work. But Lucy's work is really about how people work together and how they make sense of technical artifacts and work processes and understand what's kind of going on in the workplace and what they're collaborating on. And I think as we look more and more at these problems of, you know, collaborative systems and people working on very large software systems that are full of code and non-code artifacts, and kind of making sense of that rapidly evolving world, I think Lucy's perspectives are something that a lot of people at Uppsala would find very interesting. I think her kind of way of looking at the world is very much in the Uppsala spirit. And while her work in some sense won't be technical in the sense that we're mostly familiar with at Uppsala, I think the ideas are very relevant to the problems that we're tackling. So I'm really looking forward to both of those keynotes. I mean, I'm looking forward to all the keynotes, but these are two people who I've had the pleasure of working with and whose work has significantly influenced my own thinking. So I'm particularly looking forward to these two.
So you have these researchers and these practitioners at Uppsala. How do you get them to interact?
You know, I do think that, to my way of thinking, that's always been one of the things that I have found most interesting about Uppsala is that you have the two communities who have at least come there. And that sets it apart from a number of conferences right there, because you know the developer conferences don't have researchers, and some of the more pure research conferences don't have developers. Uppsala gets those two communities, and it also gets architects and consultants and people like that all there. How you get them to mix is, you know, I think a combination of planning and magic and, you know, luck. I do believe that many of the researchers who go to Uppsala, not all, but many of the researchers who go to Uppsala make a particular effort to go to practitioner events that they believe are talking about problems that they might have some insight into. So I think that's happening a great deal in that direction. I think a number of practitioners drop in on the research track. I think that they don't drop in on the research track as much as they might, and perhaps they could do that a bit more. On the other hand, you know, the standard thing at Uppsala is that, you know, there is no proceedings for the panel, whereas there's a very well-written paper that describes the research presentation. And, you know, that gives people a sense that they can read some of the research papers later. Although I think dropping in on the talk also gives you an opportunity to meet the people. So I think some of that mixing does happen at Uppsala. Some of it is just, you know, a bit of luck. Certainly the work of my own group at Park starting years ago, you know, we did bump into a lot of people at Uppsala. We bumped into the OTI people and a bunch of other people and got some feedback about the problems they were having bringing, at that time, an advanced software technology into practice. So I do think that does happen for a lot of people. I think that's why a lot of the people who go to Uppsala keep going back, is they're going to be able to touch base with people who are working either at the forefront of research or at the forefront of bringing new technology into practice, and bounce ideas off of them and talk about them and stuff like that. So I think we do it the way we've been doing it, which is put together a great program and encourage people to come, and then exactly who will meet who and how they will talk, you know, we can't know.
We're at a different place with objects than we were when the conference began. So now OO is everywhere, and there's a broader audience that this conference could serve that just don't know about it.
I think on the one hand, that's true. I mean, you know, objects is now almost taken for granted. It's not to say that every program should be object-oriented, but certainly it's almost taken for granted now that many programs will be partly object-oriented, and there'll be static languages like Java and more dynamic languages like Ruby. I think an additional thing has happened, which is that, you know, that Uppsala isn't just objects anymore. And I think that's been true for a number of years and is becoming even more and more true. So a lot of the papers talk about objects because, you know, a lot of the underlying technology that we use every day is objects. But they're looking at sort of more general issues in software architecture, in software refactoring, in integrating different kinds of artifacts into workflow, in doing different kinds of analysis over programs. You know, my sense has always been that, you know, a conference is a community, and a community is kind of a shared set of values. And I think the shared set of values at Uppsala is not so much about objects as it is about believing that the problem of constructing complex software systems is a problem that inherently has hybrid solutions, and that knowing a bit about objects and a bit about type systems and a bit about workflow and a bit about refactoring and a bit about methods and dot, 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 that the kind of people who seem to be the best at getting complex software systems to happen are the people who know sort of all those kinds of things. And that, to me, is really the core value of Uppsala, is that the construction of complex software systems involves knowing a lot of that. And so that's why I think Uppsala has always been a very broad conference. So I think it's more relevant than ever before because its core value is more relevant than ever before, at least as relevant as ever before. Software systems aren't getting more homogeneous, and more simple and more straightforward. That's not happening.
Uppsala 2008 Research Program Chair Gregor Cazales. Thank you for listening to the Uppsala podcast. If you want to know more about the conference or would like to listen to additional podcast episodes, visit the Uppsala website at uppsala.org. This episode is released under a Creative Commons license.